The Fellowship, though, was a somewhat different story. Not as many of them as there were of the Venatori, but not many of them were merely human. Most of them, so I took it, were those who had been half-turned by the vampires. They'd been infested with the dark powers that made the Red Court such a threat, but until they willingly drank another's lifeblood, they never quite stopped being human. It could make them stronger and faster and better able to withstand injury than regular folks, and it granted them a drastically increased lifespan. Assuming they didn't fall prey to their constant base desire for blood or weren't slain in operations against their enemies in the Red Court. A woman I'd once cared for very much had been taken by a Red Court vampire. In point of fact, I'd kicked off the war when I went and took her back by the most violent means at my disposal. I brought her back, but I didn't save her. She'd been touched by that darkness, and now her life was a battle, partly against the vampires who'd done it to her, and partly against the bloodthirst they'd imposed upon her. Now, she was a part of the Fellowship whose members included those like her and, I'd heard, many other people, and part people, with no home anywhere else. St. Giles, patron of lepers and outcasts. His Fellowship, while not a full-blown powerhouse like the Council or one of the vampire courts, was nonetheless proving to be a surprisingly formidable ally. "Our allies can't challenge the vampires in face-to-face confrontations," Ebenezer said, nodding. "But they're wreaking havoc on the Red Court's supply chains, intelligence, and support, attacking from the mortal end of things. Red Court infiltrators within human society are unmasked. Humans controlled by the Red Court have been arrested, framed, or killed, or else abducted to be forcibly freed of their addiction. The Fellowship and the Venatori continue to do all in their power to provide information to the Council, which has enabled us to make a number of successful raids against the vampires. The Venatori and the Fellowship haven't appreciably weakened the vampires, but the Red Court has been slowed down. Perhaps enough to give us a fighting chance to recover. How's the boot camp coming?" I asked. "Lucio is confident of her eventual success in replacing our losses," Ebenezer replied. "Don't see what else I can do to help," I said, "unless you're wanting someone to go start fathering new wizards." He stepped closer to me and glanced around. His expression was casual, but he was checking to see if anyone was close enough to overhear. "There's something you don't know. The Merlin decided it was not for general knowledge." I turned to face him and tilted my head. "You remember the Red Court's attack last year," he said, "that they called up outsiders and assaulted us within the realm of Faerie itself?"
"Bad move, so I've heard. The Faeries are going to take it out of their hides."
"So we all thought," the old man said. "In fact, Summer declared war upon the Red Court and began preliminary assaults on them. But Winter hasn't responded, and Summer hasn't done much more than secure its borders."
"Queen Mab didn't declare war?"
"No." I frowned. "Never thought she'd pass up the chance. She's all about carnage and bloodshed." "It surprised us as well," he said, "so I want to ask a favor of you." I eyed him without speaking. "Find out why," he said. "You have contacts within the courts. Find out what's happening. Find out why the Shi haven't gone to war."
"What?" I asked. "The senior council doesn't know? Don't you have an embassy and high-level connections and official channels? Maybe a bright red telephone?"
Ebenezer smiled without much mirth. "The general turbulence of the war has stretched everyone's intelligence-gathering abilities," he replied, "even those in the spiritual realms. There's another level entirely to the war in the conflict between spiritual spies and emissaries of everyone involved, and our embassy to the Shi has been..." He rolled a weathered, strong shoulder in a shrug. "Well, you know them as well as anyone. They've been polite, open, spoken with complete honesty, and left you with no idea what's going on," I guessed.
"Precisely.
So the senior council is asking me to find out?" He glanced around again. "Not the senior council. myself. A few others.
What others? I asked.
People I trust, he said, and looked at me directly over the rims of his spectacles. I stared at him for a second, and then said in a whisper, the traitor.
The vampires of the Red Court had been a little too on top of the game to be merely lucky. Somehow, they had been obtaining vital secrets about the dispositions of the White Council's forces and their plans. Someone on the inside had been feeding the vampires information, and a lot of wizards had died because of it, particularly during their heaviest attack last year, in which they'd violated Chi territory in pursuit of the fleeing council.
You think the traitor is someone on the senior council?
I think we can't take any chances, he said quietly. This isn't official business. I can't order you to do it, Harry. I'll understand if you don't want to, but there's no one better for the job, and our allies cannot maintain the current pace of operations for long. Their best weapon has always been secrecy, and their actions have forced them to pay a terrible cost of lives to give us what aid they have. I folded my arms over my stomach and said, we need to help them, sure, but every time I look sideways at Ferry, I get into deeper trouble with him. It's the last thing I need. If I do this, how? Ebenezer's weight shifted, gravel crunching loudly. I glanced up to see the Merlin and Morgan emerge from the building, speaking quietly and intently.
I wanted to talk to you, Ebenezer said, evidently for the benefit of everyone listening. Make sure Morgan and the other wardens are treating you square.